Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. We are on Daf Kuf Nun Vav on our base, two lines from the bottom, and in the midst of our discussion regarding Muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda has a very broad application of Muktzah. He holds anything which is not prepared, which is undesignated for this use, cannot be used on Shabbos. For instance, an animal which died on Shabbos. So since at the onset of Shabbos, during Bein HaShemashos, it was meant for human consumption. It was Muchan La'adam. One doesn't feed his behemoth to a kelev unnecessarily, so it's designated for human consumption. So therefore, even now that it died, and it is only suitable to be fed to dogs, for instance, it cannot be used for this purpose, since at the onset of Shabbos, it wasn't prepared and designated for this purpose. So according to Yehuda, lacking preparedness, lacking hachana, renders it muktzah. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, we don't have this broad application of muktzah. He holds only something which is inherently useless, something which is deficient, due to an internal element within the object itself. For instance, a pebble, a rock, which is inherently useless. That is muktzah, but something which is merely lacking that positive element of achana, of designation, of preparedness, that doesn't make it muktzah. So the summary here is that according to Reb Yehuda, we need that positive element of achana, in order to allow its use. According to Reb Shimon, as long as it's not deficient, it is mutter. Says the Gemara, two lines from the bottom, on kufnum vavam beis, v'af Rabbi Yochanan, and also Rabbi Yochanan, omar halacha Reb Shimon. He also holds that halacha follows Reb Shimon's view of muktzah. Says the Gemara, umi omar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Is that so? That Rabbi Yochanan maintains that halacha follows Reb Shimon's view? V'om Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan tell us halacha k'stam mishnah? The halacha follows a stam mishnah. What exactly is a stam mishnah? It's an anonymous mishnah. Rabbi HaKadosh, with all of the Talmid HaKham who were present at that time, when they edited the mishnayos, they did it in a way, in a manner which will indicate to us, very often, what the halacha is. So if there was a view, a shita, which they concurred with, they wanted that to become the established halacha. They recorded it as a stam mishnah, without any name attached to it, without any machlokes. And this will indicate to us that the halacha is meant to follow that view. So Rabbi Yochanan taught us that the halacha follows a stam mishnah. Now we actually have a stam mishnah which concurs with the shita of Rabbi Yehuda and Muktzah. Utnan, and we learned in the mishnah, ein mevaken eitzim min ha-koyres. If one has koyres, these beams, these wooden beams which were set up for construction, one cannot chop them into firewood to use them for fuel on Yom Tov, because they were designated for construction. Nor can he use for firewood this koira, this beam within the home which broke on Yom Tov, because it wasn't pre-designated for this purpose. At the commencement of Yom Tov, at the Bein HaShemashos point, it wasn't meant to be used as firewood. So we see that lacking hachana, lacking designation, makes it muktzah, in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. And this is a stam mishnah. Says the Gemara, actually it's not. Rabbi Yochanan, hahu, k'Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda masna. He had a different version of that mishnah. He had a girsa that that mishnah is actually attributed to a shita, to a view of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. He's the author of that mishnah. And therefore, it's not really a stam mishnah, and not necessarily do we have to follow that shita. Toshma, come and listen to the following raya from another mishnah in Meseches Be'ah, which seems to be a stam mishnah, in accordance with Shita of Yehuda and Muktzah, that lacking achana is also. Maschilin baremas hateven. So we have a rema, a pile of straw. One can begin, meaning using it for the first time, if he wants to use it for fueling, for firewood. So you can use this hay for his fueling purposes on Yom Tov. Avaloi be'etzim shebe muktzah. But he can't begin using the etzim, the wood which is sitting in the muktzah. This is the outdoor storage area. He can't begin using this on Yom Tov because that wood was sitting there, meant to be used in the winter time, so it wasn't meant, it wasn't designated for current use. So you can't begin use of those pieces of wood on Yom Tov. So you see, that's something which was undesignated, unprepared for current use. It's muktzah, and it's a stam mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hasam, the situation there is totally different. Hasam ba'arzi v'ashuchi, we're speaking about wood of high quality, different types of cedar wood, which are not meant to be used for fueling, for firewood. It's meant to be used for construction. The muktzah machmas chesaron kis, afilu Reb Shimon Moide. This is an example of something which was muktzah due to its high value. A person would not deviate from its designated use. A person would not divert it for inappropriate use. It's meant to be used for its designated purpose, for construction. A person would not misuse it due to its value, due to the loss of property. Machus chasaron kis. It's not going to want to just waste this precious wood as firewood. So even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that is muktzah. Because here the limitation is due to an internal element, an internal facet within that wood, within this object. This thing is not meant to be used inappropriately. So even Rabbi Shimon would agree that this is muktzah. Tashma, come and listen to the following right from another Mishnah, a Stam Mishnah, Maseches Beah, which seems to follow Rabbi Yehuda. A mashkin v'sheichden is amidbaris. Amidbaris are animals, behemoths which are spend their time out in the wilderness and are not designated for current use. So even though they belong to him, but his mind, his das, is not to use it, it's considered to be muktzah. So one can be mashke, that is to give the animal to drink prior to shechita to allow easy removal of the skin. So a mashkin v'sheichden is amidbaris, these animals which are in the wild, which are undesignated for current use. Aval mashkin v'sheichden is abayosis. One can do this to animals which are more domesticated, they come sleep within the area, and they are designated for current use. So at any rate, we see that something which is not muchan is muktzah. And this is a Stam Mishnah. So why does Rabbi Yochanan hold like Rabbi Shimon? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Stam Achrina Ashkach. Rabbi Yochanan actually found another Mishnah which is a Stam Mishnah, which follows Rabbi Shimon's view. Rashi points out that what he meant to say is that Stam Achrina means a Shita of Beis Hillel. We found that Beis Hillel concurs with Rabbi Shimon, and the opinion of Shimon to us has value like a Stam Mishnah, because the Shita of Beis Hillel carries more weight, is the authoritative opinion. We always follow the Shita of Beis Hillel. Since we find that Beis Hillel concurs with Rabbi Shimon's opinion in Muktzah, so that's how we follow. Where do we find this Beis Hillel? We have a Mishnah, which we actually learned earlier in the Kuf Mem Gimel, Beishame Oimrim Magbin Me'al HaShulchan. One can remove from his table, he can directly interact with this Muktzah Atzamas Eklifin, the bones and the peels, which are suitable for animal feed. So one can remove it from his table without any concern. It's not Muktzah, it's useful, it can serve it to his animals. Ubisil Oimrim, no, he can't directly contact it, he has to remove it, but in an indirect manner. Misalikas atavla kula umanara. How does he remove the bones and the peels and the shells? He goes and takes the tavla kula, this entire table board, removes the entire board, and manara shakes off the items. So he can't directly interact with this thing because it's muktzah. Why is it muktzah? Because originally this bone was embedded in a piece of flesh, in a piece of meat. It was considered to be part of the machal adam, the human food. Now when it became separated and it's only useful for an animal, it underwent a transition. It changed its status. And that took place on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So since at the entry point of Shabbos, this thing was not considered animal feed, was part of the human food, therefore it's considered to be muktzah because it's lacking that hachana. It wasn't designated for animal feed. So this appears to be the shita of Beis Hillel. Therefore he can't touch this thing, it's muktzah. He needs to shake it off in an indirect manner. Whereas Beis Shammai holds, he can directly interact with this because it's useful. He can take the shells, the klipin, the atzamos, and feed it to his animal. There's nothing muktzah about it. The fact that it was unprepared for this use, it's irrelevant. So Beis Shammai seems to be following Shita's Reb Shimon. Now, one thing here. V'amar Rav Nachman, anu ein lanu, we don't follow this version, this girsa of the Mishnah. Rather, we switch things around. Ela Beis Shammai k'Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, Beis Shammai are the ones who say you can't directly interact with the bones, you must shake them off indirectly, because they hold like Rabbi Yehuda. That lack of preparedness is considered to be muktzah, and therefore you can't directly move it. Beis Hillel k'Rabbi Shimon. Actually, it's Beis Hillel who hold like Rabbi Shimon that this is not muktzah due to its ability to be fed to an animal, and therefore you can directly remove the bones and these pills from the table. So here we have Beis Hillel, who is the final authority, who hold like Rabbi Shimon, and indeed that's why Rabbi Yochanan preferred this approach, and he ruled the Paskin like Rabbi Shimon with regard to Muktzah. Concludes the Gemara, what is the halacha l'maaseh? Pligiba
Rav Acha Ravina. There was a machlokes between Rav Acha and Ravina as follows. Chadamar, one of them said, B'chol HaShabbos Kula, throughout the halachas of Shabbos, halachas of Rav Shimon, and all halachas we follow Rav Shimon, Levar Mimukta Machasmeas. So in all aspects of Muktzah, we follow Rav Shimon's lenient approach, except for one thing. Muktzah mach masmir, something which is Muktzah due to its repulsiveness. Umayni, what is this example? Example of this, Ner Yoshan, a pre-used earthenware lamp, which is repulsive, it absorbs the oil, it's greasy, it's considered to be mos. So due to its inherent repulsiveness, which is an internal facet of the object itself, so the uselessness here stems from the deficiency of the actual chayfetz. So when it comes to this, we do consider it to be muktzah. So in all other things, we follow Rav Shimon's view, except for muktzah machmasmias, which is an extreme case of muktzah. The other view took, the other shita held, we're speaking about Rav Acha and Ravina, so the other madama held, but muktzah machmasmias nami, halach Rav Shimon. Even when it comes to muktzah machmasmias, we follow Rav Shimon's approach. It's not muktzah. He has a personal preference to avoid this kli. It's not inherently useless. There's nothing wrong with it. So it's not muktzah. So we follow Rav Shimon, except for one thing. Levar memuktzah machmas iser. Except for this category of muktzah machmas iser, mind you, what is that? Ner shedliki bo beis haShabbos. This lamp which was used on that Shabbos. So this lamp is muktzah machmas iser. It served as a support to the flame. So it's muktzah due to the fact that it was involved with iser, malacha, and that thing is muktzah. And even we consider that to be muktzah. Because here the deficiency is due to a halachic factor. It was part of a lamp, part of a flame, it was being used for malacha, whatever the reason here is, it is a halachic consideration which contributes to its deficiency. It's not merely its personal preference, like something which is mos. It's something which is inherent in the object itself. And it's a halachic factor here. Therefore, we consider this to be off limits and muktzah on Shabbos. So in all areas of muktzah, we follow Rav Shimon, except for muktzah machmasis. Concludes the Gemara, but you meant to know, there's one class of muktzah where even Rav Shimon agrees, and this is what we mentioned earlier. Avo b'muktzah machmasis chesor, a kiss. Something, an object of high value, which a person hesitates to misuse, lest it get damaged due to its delicateness and fragility. So in that case, even Rav Shimon agrees that it's muktzah. I feel Rav Shimon might, because this is something inherent within the object itself that precludes its use for other purposes, for non-malacha purposes. So even Rav Shimon agrees. The snan is learned in the Mishnah. Kol ha-kelim netolim b'Shabbos. All types of utensils can be moved on Shabbos, even something which is designated for malacha. So we're following Rav Shimon's shita, and the Mishnah stipulates, chutz, except for moving this large size saw which is used for carpentry. So a person would not divert it for other use. This pointy part this metal portion of the machresha of the plow, which again is delicate and something which is of high value, which should not be diverted for other use on Shabbos. Therefore, even Rav Shimon would agree in this case that one may not use these items on Shabbos. So in summary, we have various types of muktzah. We have muktzah machmas, meaning due to the fact that it's not prepared, it's eini mukhan. We have muktzah machmas mius, due to its repulsiveness. Muktzah machmas iser. We have muktzah machmas chesaron kis, something of high value, which you wouldn't divert for other use. We actually have one more category, which is not mentioned here, but it's mentioned earlier in the Masechta, which is something which is inherently useless, like a pebble, like coins, which is called muktzah machmas gufay. Rav Yehuda maintains all these things are muktzah. Rav Shimon maintains everything is mutter, except for chesaron kis. And gufay, which is something which is deficient on account of its inherent deficiency. Regarding halacha l'maisa, Rav Yechon passes like Rav Shimon. The Gemara concluded that halacha like Rav Shimon, except for either muktzah machmas mius, or according to the other opinion, muktzah machmas iser. Continues the Mishnah. Mafirin nedarim b'Shabbos. So hafaras nedarim is where the husband nullifies the nether, the vow that his wife makes. Torah gives him the ability, the privilege, to nullify that nether. And he can only do it b'yayim shamay, on the day, the actual day that he heard about the nether. So one can be mefer nedarim, the nedarim of his wife, on Shabbos. V'nishalim l'nedarim, shein l'tzarech ha-Shabbos. Likewise, a person could be shoyel, can go approach a chacham and ask, request of him to be matir, his vow, provided that there's a Shabbos purpose. It's interfering with Shabbos. For instance, Rashi says, he made a nether that he's not going to eat today. So he's allowed to approach a chacham to go ahead and be matir to permit that nether. Continues the Mishnah. Upayki kines amor, one may plug, shutter the window on Shabbos using a shutter. So even though the shutter is not tied and suspended mid-air, which is the sheet of Reb Elezer, we learned earlier in the Kuf Chav Hei, this is the sheet of Rabbanan who allow shuttering, even using a non-tied shutter, because it appears like he's merely closing back the window, it doesn't look like he's building anything, so one can do that on Shabbos. U'moydedin es hamatlas. One can measure a piece of material to determine its size, whether or not it is susceptible to tumah. U'moydedin es hamikvah. One may measure a mikvah on Shabbos to see, to determine whether it has the proper dimensions and is a kosher mikvah. Continues the Mishnah. Umar said there was a story, b'mei aviv, in the lifetime of the father shel Rab Tzadik, u'b'mei Abba Shol ben Batnes, and in the days of Abba Shol ben Batnes, that they encountered some situation which we described in the Gemara, which compelled them to perform three things. Number one, they did shepakaku es amar b'tafiach. They took a tafiach, some sort of pach shel cheres, Rashi says, a earthenware kli, and they plugged up the window with it. Number two, they did v'kashor sa mekeda begemi. They tied a gemi on the mekeda. Mekeda is also some sort of kli cheres. So they tied this string, this reed grass, on the mekeda. Why? Leda, in order to use it and determine with it, im yesh begigis, whether in the barrel which was lying there, which had a hole, a split, they wanted to determine the size of that hole. Leida meish begigis peiseach tefach imlav. Whether or not there's a tefach of width in that hole. So they used this kli, this mekeda, which was a tefach wide, and they lowered it through the hole to determine the size of the hole. Concludes the Mishnah. Umidivreim lamadu. From their actions, we actually learned. Shepaikikin wame shutter a window. Umoydidin wame measure. If it is needed for a halachic reason. Vikayshim b'shabas. And one may tie on Shabbos if it is a temporary knot, and not a kesher shel kayam. Let's look at the Rashi inside. 25 lines from the top. Masnisin, says Rashi, mefirin, this is the beginning of the Mishnah, a baal li'ishta, a baal can be mefer for his wife, his wife's nether. That's the first item in the Mishnah. Then, v'nishon l'chacham, one may go and ask, approach a chacham, have him permit his nether, provided that it's l'tzarech Shabbos. Kigoyin shenoda shloi lechal yom. For instance, he made a vow not to eat today. So it's interfering with his Shabbos observance, so he can go ahead and attend to that nether. The Mishnah can continue to poikin samor. Kirabonon de amri, poikin kaka chaloyim, one may shutter a window. Umoydin in samikvah. Bemida, can go ahead and measure the mikvah using some sort of measuring stick. Sheesham omoik sholish amos mayim. To know whether it has the proper dimension, 3 amas of water and depth, v'reich of amal amah, and a width of an amah by amah, which is the proper dimension of a mikvah. So you can measure that. V'es amatlis, a piece of material, to determine, shtei sholish al sholish its boys, whether it has 3 by 3 fingers width, kigoyin moise tmeya. For instance, if it became tamei benoga bataris, and it touched something which was tar, you wanted to know whether this piece of material was actually tamei, whether it had the proper dimensions, so one could measure these things on Shabbos. So generally, one is not meant to measure on Shabbos. It's considered to be over the chayil, the weekly activity, but it's for the sake of halacha, for the sake of mitzvah, you can do it. So what did these people do? They plugged up the window with tafiach, pach shel cheres. We find this term, tafiach, elsewhere in the Masechta. V'chaveroi b'perik yedzayin, z'moyer shekshur b'tafiach, this branch tied to a tafiach, this bucket with malam b'Shabbos, one can fill with it on Shabbos. And they tied the mekeda, which is another form of a kli cheres, with a string. Leda, to determine him, yesh begigis, paiseach tefach, but Gemara mefarish, the Gemara will explain for us in great detail. So we learned from them that one can plug a window, one can measure, and tie. V'koishrin kesha she'enish shekayama, afil l'chatchila, something which is not a permanent knot, can be done even l'chatchila. U'moydedin, and one can measure l'islam el v'hara, in order to derive a halachic factor, so for the sake of halacha of hara, one can do that on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. So we had in the beginning of the Mishnah, Haforas Nedarim, which is a husband who is attending to his wife's nether, and we have Nish'alun Nedarim, which in Maseches Nedarim is called Hataras Nedarim, where one approaches a Chacham with a request that he permit his nether. Now, the Mishnah split them into two, Mefir Nedarim B'Shabbos, and then Nish'alun Nedarim. So the Mishnah split them into two, and the Mishnah said, Shehin L'Tzarech HaShabbos. So it could only be done if it's L'Tzarech Shabbos. Now, we have a question in the Gemara. This limitation, that it can only be done if it's for the sake of Shabbos, for the benefit of Shabbos, does this apply to both halachis? To She'elah of Chacham, as well as to the Hafara of the Baal? Or do we say no? It only applies to Hatara of the Chacham, but not to a husband who is attending to his wife's nether. Ibailo, so they ask the following question. Hafara. A far that a husband does to his wife, bein letzorich ubein shel letzorich, can that be done whether it is for the sake of Shabbos or even if it is not for tzorich Shabbos? Usheela, it is only when it comes to sheela, which is the person approaching the chacham, that we apply this limitation letzorich in sheloi letzorich loi, that it can only be done for the sake, for the benefit of Shabbos, but otherwise not. Umeshim hachi, and that will be the reason. Kapal ginu mahadolia, the Mishnah separates the two categories. The Mishnah says, Mefir Nedarim B'Shabbos, that's A, because that applies under all circumstances, even if it's not for the sake and for the benefit of Shabbos. The Rashi will soon explain why we would be more lenient with the husband. But the Mishnah begins with that, and then proceeds with She'ela, which is a different category. And that can only be done on the Tzorech Shabbos. U'mishamachi, and that is the reason. Kapalginu Me'adolei, the Mishnah splits the two halachis. Oidimo, perhaps, they're both one and the same. Hafar and Nami. Even when it comes to hafara of the husband to his wife's nether, that is only allowed when it is letzarech Shabbos, but otherwise not. Why then does the Mishnah split the two things? The reason why the Mishnah splits these two concepts from each other, mishum, simply because they work differently. The different methods of treating a nether. Mishum da hafara ain't tzarech bezin, because hafara doesn't require a bezin. A husband is fully capable of attending to his wife's nether, u'sh'eila, tzricha bezin, as opposed to she'ela, which needs a bezin, which Rashi says means a chacham. So since they're done differently, the Mishnah splits the two things, but halachically, they're one and the same. Let's see Rashi inside, about 30 lines from the bottom. Gemara, iboilu hafara de masnisen. The hafara, which is mentioned now in Mishnah, is it bein letzorech, bein shelo letzorech haShabbos? Whether or not it's for the sake and benefit of Shabbos? Why would you say so? The gabei hafara b'yom shomayksiv, because the Torah tells us that hafara could only be done b'yom shomay, on the day that the Baal hears of the nether. So his time frame is very limited. If he doesn't take to it now, shuveni mefer, he's going to run out of time. Therefore, we have reason to allow him to nullify his wife's nether even on Shabbos, even if it's not for the sake of Shabbos, because he's going to run out of time. So that's a leniency applied to hafara, as opposed to she'ela of a person walking over to a chacham, asking him to take care of his nether. She'ela letzorech in, shlo letzorech loy. Why? The yochel l'shol hamachar, because he has full ability to take care of this tomorrow. U'mishamachi mafglu ma'adodi. That's why the Mishnah splits these two categories from one another. V'loik tani, the Mishnah doesn't simply lump them together in a fear and vinish sholin l'nedarim shen tzorech haShabbos. The Mishnah decides to split them. Why? The loikoi letzorech, because the word letzorech is only in reference ela she'ela, because hafara can be done regardless of whether it's letzorech Shabbos or not. So that's the question posed in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, come and listen to the Raya, the Tani Zuti Dvira Papi. So this person Zuti Dvira Papi taught us as follows. Mefir and Dom Shabbos. A husband may be made for his wife's nether on Shabbos, letzorech haShabbos, only if it's for the benefit of Shabbos, letzorech haShabbos. Im, yes, shelo letzorech Shabbos, loy. It's very clear, it is only allowed for tzorech Shabbos. Continues Gemara, lishna achrina, we have another version of events in our Gemara. Iboyu, so they ask the following question, letzorech atavayuk tani? When the Mishnah stipulates that it needs to be letzorech Shabbos, is it in reference to both cases? Hafara of the husband and hatora of the chacham. So letzorech atarvayik tani usheloi letzorech loi. But if it's not for the sake of Shabbos, one cannot tend to another under all circumstances. Alma, apparently, hafaras nedar meisleis. So apparently, the time frame, the allowance that the Torah gives a Baal to be made for the nether of his wife stretches for a period of a full meislez, a full 24-hour period. So there's no real need for him to tend to her nether today. He heard about the nether on Shabbos. He can wait till after Shabbos because he has a full 24-hour period to address his wife's nether. So that's why he cannot tend to it unless it's pertinent for Shabbos. For instance, she made a nether not to eat today. So that would allow him to tend to it, but otherwise not, because he has full ability to address it tomorrow, because he has a full 24-hour period to take care of it. So that's the first tzad in the Gemara. So you can only do it if it's a tzarich Shabbos, because he still has plenty of time available. Oy dilma, or perhaps, kiktani letzarech ashelo diktani. When the Mishnah stipulates it needs to be a tzarich Shabbos, that is strictly in reference to she'ela, when a person approaches the chacham. Aval ha'foros nedarim, afilu shlo tzarich. When it comes to ha'foros nedarim, a husband to his wife, even if it's a shaloi letzarech Shabbos, one can tend to it. Why? Because, in contrast to the chacham, who doesn't run out of time, he can approach the chacham tomorrow, the next day. There's no deadline here. So we don't allow him to tend to it unless it's a tzarech Shabbos. Now, incidentally, what's wrong with taking care of a nether on Shabbos? There are many approaches to the mission here. Some say it looks like he's making a din Torah. Some say it looks like he's being a sack and fixing something. Some say it's a tircha. Some learn because it's like uvda d'chayli, weak activity. So we don't allow the chacham to tend to a nether unless it's tzarech Shabbos, because he has plenty of time available to take care of it after Shabbos. But at Forest and Durham, where it's only a limited time frame, and if he runs out of time, he's going to lose that opportunity. So even if it's shalom tzarech Shabbos, we allow him to do it. Alma, apparently, HaFaris Nadarim Kala Yoyim. HaFaris Nadarim may only be executed the entire day. He doesn't have 24 hours. It's only up until the end of that particular day. So if he heard the nether on Shabbos, he can only do it until Mitzvah Shabbos. Afterwards, it's too late. So therefore, this is reason to allow him to tend to her nether, even if it's not directly impacting Shabbos. So according to this version of the Gemara, it's basically the same question. Is HaFaris Nadarim only applicable to something which is impacting Shabbos or not? But the Gemara added a new element to the equation. It is linked to the question of deadline. What is the time frame allowed for HaFaris Nadarim? Because if he has a full 24-hour period, then there's no special reason to allow him to take care of her nether on Shabbos if it doesn't impact Shabbos. Whereas if he only has a limited time frame up until the end of that day, then he must take to her nether on Shabbos, even if it doesn't impact Shabbos observance. Toshma, the Tani Rav Zuti Dvei Rav, a puppy, Mefir Nadarim B'Shabbos, Litzorech HaShabbos. So he stipulates clearly that even a husband can only tend to his wife's nether if it is Litzorech HaShabbos. Litzorech HaShabbos in, Shloi Litzorech HaShabbos, Loi Alma. So we deduce from here, regarding the time frame of a person Nadarim, that what? Apparently, the halacha is that he has 24 hours. Therefore, we don't allow him to tend to a nether which is not pertinent for Shabbos. Alma first and darmeis leis. Apparently, there's a 24-hour period which is granted to the husband to annul his wife's nether, and therefore, there's no reason to grant him a special privilege to tend to his wife's nether which doesn't impact Shabbos. Amar Rav Ashi, is that the case? That has 24 hours. Vanatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, hafars and darm kol hayoyim. The hafars and darm can only take place the entire day, meaning until nightfall. And that's it. Not 24 hours. The Mishnah tells us sometimes there's a kuleh, sometimes a chumra, meaning sometimes he has a short window of opportunity to take to his wife's nether, and sometimes there's a longer period. Kate said, how's that? Nodra leili Shabbos, it depends when she made her nether. If she made her nether leili Shabbos, meaning Shabbos at night, then he has until tomorrow evening to attend to the nether. Mefer leili Shabbos, v'yayma Shabbos. He can be mefer that night and the entire next day. Asha techshach, until nightfall. So this gives him a long period of time to take care of it. But if she made a nether right before nightfall, that leaves him a very small window of opportunity. He can only be mefer before nightfall. Because if he hadn't taken care of it by the time nighttime arrives, he has no longer ability to be mefer. So this Mishnah clearly tells us that a first number does not extend for 24 hours. Rather, it ends at the end of that day. So this is a stira. So we just mentioned that he has 24 hours as the Gemara. You write, Tanoi, it's actually Machlokes Tanoi. What exactly is the time frame for HaFaris Nadarim? The sign is willing to the price. HaFaris Nadarim Kol HaYoyim, the entire day, not 24 hours. Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon Amru, Meyes Leis. He has 24 hours. So in summary, regarding tending to Nadarim on Shabbos, when it comes to She'ela, which is called Hatoras Nedarim of Echacham, that can only be done if it is Letzorach Shabbos. If it's impacting his Shabbos observance, for instance, he made a nether not to eat today, then the Chacham could take care of it on Shabbos. But otherwise, wait till after Shabbos. Regarding the Hafara of a husband to his wife's Nedarim, so according to the first version of the Gemara, that is only limited to Letzorach Shabbos. According to the second version, it would appear that it really depends on the opinions regarding the general halacha. What is the time frame of Hafaras Nedarim? Because if it's Me'es La'es, he has 24 hours to tend to that nether, then indeed we only allow him to take care of his wife's nether on Shabbos if it is Letzorach Shabbos, because he still have time after Shabbos to take care of it. But according to the Shita, that Hafaras Nedarim only extends until the end of that day, which means until Matzei Shabbos, in which case it is very important and crucial for him to tend to his wife's nether today on Shabbos. In this case, we allow him to be made for her nether even if it's Shaloi Letzorach HaShabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'nisholim nedarim, if it's Letzorach Shabbos. Iboilus, they ask the following question. We allow the Chacham to be Matzei Nether, which is pertinent for Shabbos. K'shaloi hoi le'pnai? Are we speaking strictly when this fellow had no ability, had no opportunity to ask the Chacham to do this on Erev Shabbos? He didn't have time, he couldn't find the Chacham. That's why we grant him this privilege and allowance. Or Dilma, perhaps. I feel hoi le'pnai. Even if he had ample opportunity to do it before Shabbos, he can proceed with this on Shabbos because it is relevant to Shabbos, it is Tzorach Shabbos. Toshma de'askiku le'rabbonon. The Rabbanon made themselves available to Rav Zutra, the son of Rav Zera, and they permitted his nether. Even though it was a situation where he had ample opportunity to address this before Shabbos, nevertheless, they availed themselves and they were matir his nether, since it was important for Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. So we have that story where they plugged up the window, and they tied the thing with a reed grass. Now, what were the circumstances? What was the background behind that story? Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, it was as follows. Hilkati Ktana, there was this small alleyway. Hilkati Ktana Yosa ben Shnei Batim, between two homes. V'tumah Yosa Sham, and there was tumah present there. For instance, there was a mace there. V'gigis Sduka Munachas Al Gaban. Now there was a oihel, there was a barrel, gigs is a barrel, stuka, which was split, had a hole, which was lying on top of the two homes, serving as a roof over the mace. Now, before the mace passed away, they quickly plugged up the window of the home there, because the oihel has the ability to transfer that tumah throughout the roofed area and also into the home through the window. So they quickly preempted that by closing up the window, they closed up the mar, this window, with this kli. And then afterwards, when the mace died, they wanted to determine whether the entire roofed area under the gigas, the barrel, will transfer tumah throughout it. They wanted to know whether the hole was wide enough, because the mace was underneath that hole. So if that hole is a tefach wide, they split in the barrel the tefach wide, then the tumah simply goes up through that hole and doesn't spread throughout the oil. But if it's less than a tefach, then the tumah spreads throughout that roofed area. So they wanted to measure it. So what did they do? V'kashru sam megeda. They tied this megeda, this kli, which was a tefach wide, perfect dimension. They tied the gemi with this grass, and they apparently didn't have direct access to that hole in the gigas, so they lowered it through the hole, later to determine yesham begigis, but they have tefach and lav to know whether or not in that gigis there is a hole which is a tefach wide, and this pertained to the halachas of tumah. Now, interesting, Rashi quotes a Mishnah in Aholos, which discusses this concept of a hole, tefach or not a tefach, and Rashi adds with his utmost humility, he says, "Vani lo yecholti lahavim boy." I didn't have the ability to comprehend exactly this halacha properly. Unbelievable, his anava. So in any case, he had some difficulty with this whole concept here. And actually, Tosfos, Rabbi Natam, offers a lengthy explanation to explain this whole concept, this whole halacha. So in any case, these people, they plugged the hole and the window, they tied the thing with the gemi, and they lowered it through the hole to measure. Umadivrem Lamadu, from their actions we learned, Shapaikikin, one may plug the window, umaididin, a measure of a kushim b'Shabbos and Tana Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Ula ikla lebe Resh Galusa. Ula visited the home of Resh Galusa. Chazi, he noticed, l'rabba barav Huna, the yasa ba'avna demaya. He noticed that Rabbi Huna was sitting in this bath full of water, in this barrel of water, v'kamashachle, and he was measuring the bath. Amar Leis Ula told him, Eimad Amir Rabbanan, when did the Rabbanan allow measuring? Medita the mitzvah. Only if he's measuring for the sake of halacha, the sake of mitzvah. But just to measure for no reason, the lav mitzvah mi amar, but if it's an un-mitzvah, unrelated to mitzvah, do they allow measuring on Shabbos? It's a weekday activity. How come you're measuring the bathtub? Amar Leis, so he responded, my intent here is not to measure. Misasik ba'alman, I'm merely preoccupying myself. I have no intent on measuring. And therefore, it's not considered to be Asr on Shabbos. I think we'll go Rashi inside. 3 lines from the bottom. So, Rabbi Rav Huna was sitting ba'avna. Rashi says, ba'avna is begigis mleyamayim, this barrel full of water. And he said, I'm merely preoccupying myself. Misasik shleil tzarech, for no special reason, no special need. Ela liasuka ba'avna, merely to preoccupy myself, to keep myself busy. Now, why was he looking to keep himself busy? So the Ben Yoyada says a beautiful word. He says that he was trying to keep his mind off Torah learning. He was sitting in this bathtub. He wanted to divert his mind from Torah. Therefore, he found some sort of random activity to divert his mind and keep it from gravitating to Torah thoughts. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with a discussion of different categories of muktzah. We have muktzah machmas due to the fact that it's eni muchan, it's unprepared for this use. We have muktzah machmas mias, repulsiveness. Machmas iser, it's designated and it was used for iser. We have muktzah machmas chesar and kiss, something which is delicate and fragile, and due to its value, one would not divert it and use it for its inappropriate use. We have muktzah machmas gufay, something which is inherently useless, like a pebble, like a coin. Rav Yehuda maintains all these things are considered muktzah. Rav Shimon says, all are mutter, except something which is inherently useless or inherently unsuitable, like muktzah machmas and kiss or muktzah machmas gufay. The Gemara concludes, Rabbi Yochanan tells us to follow Rav Shimon's view. The Gemara concludes that we follow Rav Shimon in all types of muktzah, except for either muktzah machmas mius or muktzah machmas is. Regarding tending to vows on Shabbos, we have two types of attending to nedar. We have Atoras Chacham, where a person approaches the Chacham to permit his nether. That is only allowed if it's for the sake of Shabbos. We have Afora, where the husband tends to his wife nether. So according to the first approach in the Gemara, that is only allowed if it's a Tzorech Shabbos, if it impacts Shabbos. For instance, she made a nether not to eat on Shabbos. According to the second approach in the Gemara, it depends on the various shittas of what is a person's time frame, time allowance to tend to his wife's nether. If he has 24 hours, then he cannot tend to the nether on Shabbos unless it impacts Shabbos, unless it's a Tzorech Shabbos. But if the limitation is only Kol Hayayim, he only has that day as the maximum allowance to tend to his wife's nether, then he can tend to his wife's nether on Shabbos even if it's Shloit Tzorech. The Gemara proceeded to tell us that a Chacham can be Matir in Neder, which is Letzorech Shabbos, even in the event where the individual had ample opportunity to take care of his nether before Shabbos, because ultimately it's for the sake of benefit of Shabbos. The Gemara concluded that one may shutter a window on Shabbos, and regarding taking measurements on Shabbos, that is mutter, if it's for the sake of halacha, or for the sake of mitzvah. Hadran aloch mishahechshich, uslik alom sechah Shabbos, mazal tov, mazal tov. I would like to take this opportunity to express my utmost appreciation. HaKadosh HaTov, Hashem Yisbarach, for giving me the opportunity to learn together with you day after day, such a wonderful group of friends, such a chashuva olam. Also, much appreciation to our group here at LiveDoc, who very ably keep us on air, learning together day after day, under all circumstances, rain or shine, sun or sleet, to learn together, daf after daf, with such a wonderful, wonderful, special olam. May Hashem give us the opportunity to continue learning together many more masechtas in good health, b'simcha. And should you have any suggestion, any personal request on how we can improve the shiur, please don't hesitate to drop us a line. Perhaps there's a specific feature you'd like us to add for your benefit. Please be in touch. In addition, you may have noticed that the public commenting area, the public posting area, was relocated now and is on the actual page of the shiur. It's right underneath the player. It's meant to afford all of you opportunity to perhaps post a thought, a kasha, a chiddush, for the sake of all of us, to share with all of us. Please don't hesitate. We welcome any comment, any chiddush, any insight. lahagdil ter lahadir. Hashem, help us continue learning. B'simcha b'tov leva. Mazel tov, mazel tov. I told you.